Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Number 14.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. We were in this chapter yesterday, friends, and especially it's upon my spirit that as we're in the days, the time of the year of Thanksgiving, oh, that we might have real thanksgiving today as we're gathered here. So much to be thankful for naturally, but oh, is it for our favour to have great thankfulness for the wonderful favours of God's grace that we know, we hope we know. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, and to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of the gospel of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, also declared unto you, unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we beg of thee, do look in mercy upon us, as we venture to come once more to thee in prayer. O thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, O we come pleading the precious name of Jesus Christ, thy dear beloved Son. O we beg thee, hear us thus, as we plead for Jesus' sake. We have no merit of our own, we have no hope in self, we have no help in self. Oh, we feel so poor, Lord, and unworthy of the least of thy notice. But, Lord, we come, we humbly trust thou hast given us to know the way to come. We come on mercy's ground. Mercy through blood I make my plea, Lord. O God, be merciful to me. Lord, may each of the friends come in this same way. There is no other way, none other name we know given among men whereby we must be saved. And at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. O Lord, may we come thus here today, as we are found here together in thy house. Thy dear people of this church and people that cause here, Lord, and save sea, you know, without we humbly can acknowledge, Lord, our thoughts are toward them much. Even every day our thoughts come toward them, we can say, honestly we can say, Lord. You know, Lord, it is regarding all the little hills of Zion that we know and love, through thy calling us to come to them, go to them, Lord. And Lord, we do beg, as we seek to remember all our friends up and down across the land in this morning hour of thy day, as they meet at thy command, may they know thy presence, Lord. O Lord, thou knowest what thou hast given us, we trust, and to come with here today, and each of thy servants what thou hast given in exercise. And Lord, how it is as we've been singing, what we desire to do, thou knowest how the theme of that hymn is so much, we hope by thy grace and help our theme. We want to tell of thy wondrous faithfulness and sound thy name abroad, Lord. We come for this purpose here today. Oh, do help, do undertake, do give every word. Oh, Lord, keep the old man down, keep our old nature down low. Oh, may we be contrite, with contrite heart, exercised, love and tenderness. And Lord, each of us here together, who knoweth how we've read how the apostle was concerned and acknowledged how he did with tenderness as helped by thee, care for the people, and Lord, for their good. And Lord, how we know and have trembled at the theme this, even in this past week. So gentle sometimes is the flame, if we take not heed. We may unkindly quench the same, we may, my friends indeed. Lord, yet thou hast given us that word in our early days, Lord. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Oh, what we need, Lord, is thee to grant the blessed Spirit's influence and exercise. Oh, if we're under the exercise and holy influence of the Spirit of truth, everything will be right. Oh, we beg for that. We beg it may be so. Lord, we would humbly acknowledge thou hast made us a minister. Oh, Lord, how the apostle acknowledged it, we feel so small. Oh, but Lord, thou knowest, thou hast made us thy servant. Thou hast given wonderful witness of that, which deeply humbles us. Lord, oh, we pray, we may be, oh, some, oh, if we dare say, Lord, some little use of to some soul here today. Oh, we desire with a large heart, it may be more than one. Oh, there may be from thyself showers of blessing here today upon thy dear people and to their good and their eternal good. Lord, feed thy people. Oh, bless them, Lord. Do them good. Do good in thy good pleasure, Lord, here today. Confirm souls. Assure them of their part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, may there be the real, solemn concern in many a heart. Oh, to be concerned. And we pray especially for the dear young people, children and young people, Lord, there was given to the dear married friends here in their families. Oh, thy dear handmaids, Lord, a fruitful vine by the sides of thy dear people's house, the husbands, Lord, acknowledging it. And Lord, may it be so yet. Oh, bless nuptial ties. We do thank thee what thou hast brought, even in the recent marriage, Lord, do bless them. Oh, thou hast brought them so to be in holy matrimony now. We do thank thee, Lord, quietly. Thou knowest thou hast given us prayer for this. And we have watched and waited. We do thank thee, Lord. Do bless them, Lord, together as heirs together of the grace of life. And as we pray this, as we think of each one, each of those in this state, this good and right state of holy matrimony, marriages honourable in all, and the bed undefiled of all among us, and adulterers God will judge. Bless each, dear Lord, these wonderful ties and marriage made in heaven, we believe. Lord, do wonderfully prove it. And Lord, oh, those of us that were old and look back many years, how we can acknowledge it and desire that these that are young in the way may know what we have known, and especially what we have known by thy grace, what we trust we do know and desire to acknowledge right to the end of our journey. We may live to thy praise. And now with the apostles' exercise in his letters to the churches, we've looked at the several letters where it is found therein. Lord, there in several of the letters there is that in the third verse, desire to give thanks to God for thy working in souls and bringing dear people of God together and forming them into churches. And Lord, how the apostle has much rejoicing and acknowledgement with thankfulness of what, Lord, there is done. And Lord, we do believe we can acknowledge it here. But we look for more as he did. We look, Lord, that there would increase, give increase, the building of thy church, the bringing in of precious souls. Lord, thy blessing upon and in precious souls is our exercise. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Oh, Lord, may there be this wonderful fruitfulness in the church of God, whereby thy people blessed in themselves with the great favours of thy grace may tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Oh, may there be the reality of this known, realised and felt so strongly under the power of the Holy Spirit that sinners must speak of what the Lord has done for their souls. Oh, Lord, if these should hold their peace, the very stones shall cry out. Lord, may it be so, may it come to be so here, Lord, soon. Soon, dear Lord, we do not want to dictate to thee, but we wait, we watch, we pray, we look for it, Lord, for we know it will be to thy honour and glory, and to thy dear people's blessed good. Oh, we think of this in the way of the favour of it, the privileges of thy house, the favour of coming to the Lord's table. Oh, the great privilege of it. And Lord, as the friends requested, we should have the Lord's Supper this evening. We pray, Lord, we may feel it blessedly there, and those who may look on may be like our late dear friend, the Lord's servant, Mr. J.S. Green, was, as he spoke of it, Lord, in the service when it was in thy will, my time to follow thee. Oh, Lord, how he spoke of how he had such desire to sit at the Lord's table, but he knew he was the wrong side of the water. And oh, what love thou didst give him, and willingness then. Oh, here we remember our dear late godly friend, thy servant, what a faithful servant of God thou didst make him. And here so much wonderfully is left on record of his ministry of the word of truth. Oh, here we remember those gone before. The memory of the just is blessed. And oh, our great concern is, prepare me, gracious God, who stand before thy face. Our mind goes to several dear families now. We think of the friends we met with on Friday at Dicker Chapel. Oh, how they are in mourning, the family of our friend, their late friend, Mr. Dan, Lord. Be with them, bless them, comfort them, Lord. And then we think of the friends in the cause at Bromley, Lord, and the friends there, and dear, especially dear Ken, our friend, we remember, Lord. Comfort them, Lord, we beg thee. And Lord, oh, we pray that as there are others, Lord, and we would not number or name one above another, but Lord, thou knowest all our friends that are in mourning. And Lord, our own mourning that continues and over many years, Lord. And we have so much is in this wail of tears. Lord, oh, we need much grace to so persevere, to endure, Lord. For there is all the attack of Satan, all the things of our treacherous, wicked, natural hearts, which take no small part of us, Lord. We beg thee, deal with and us in that way to subdue the monstrous host that dwells within, Lord. May grace reign, Lord. We seek that favour that can only be known by grace, the wonderful reigning of grace, and thy reigning o'er us, Lord, as King, to accomplish thy will. We want to be in thy will, Lord, walking in the will of God, the fear of God. So, Lord, help each one of the friends. Help us together here today to so show it and feel it, know it. Lord, do help us. Lord, thou knowest, as we mention the Lord's Supper, we know our dear beloved friends seek to go for rest and change tomorrow. Do watch over them and be with them, Lord, and may they have a real good time of rest and change, and good for their bodies, minds and souls. Bless them, Lord. Watch over and keep them safe, Lord. We beg thee. Oh, Lord, and we pray for all our friends up and down across the land now. Oh, it may be a blessed day in thy house. We beg thee. And those of loved ones we have that have gone their own way, Lord, our burden for them, thou knowest as we bring it and cast it upon thee every day. Oh, watch over and keep them, Lord, we beg. Come now, Lord, there are many more things, thou knowest, we lay before thee every day. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Hear us for our country, our rulers, Her Majesty the Queen. Oh, hear us in these solemn days as we sigh and cry for the abominations done in our land. There are all those people terribly affected, Lord, in those parts of Central America, Lord, where, Lord, there's been those terrible hurricanes, Lord, the terrible storms. Oh, Lord, may there be a voice. A voice in these solemn things. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. Oh, may many be brought to realise these things of thy voice, Lord. There might be many brought into concern regarding their never dying souls. Do grant relief to those in great trouble, Lord, we beg thee, and great loss they've sustained. But may they not by these things be left unconcerned. O Lord, may there be so wrought in them a concern regarding their souls. O Lord, could it please thee? We ask these things, pleading the precious name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. 1107.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some words we have read in the first chapter in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The first chapter of Colossians, the third and fourth verses this morning, and hoping as we may be led to go further on in the chapter this evening. But the third and fourth verses we name this morning and seek the Lord's help to consider with you. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. It was the rejoicing of the apostle, and we find it in several of the epistles the apostle Paul wrote to the churches. It comes in the third verse. We give thanks to God and the Father. And there are those earlier epistles where the third verse is acknowledging God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so much upon the apostle to acknowledge God the Father. And as the Father, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all his people, our Father which art in heaven. The Son of God exhorted, commanded his disciples to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It was his holy, perfect purpose and desire that God the Father's name may be hallowed and glorified. Oh, this was the continual exercise of the Son of God, that God the Father may be glorified. He says, I do always the things which please my Father. But here the apostle, you see, in like manner, following the example of Christ, he acknowledges in this way and desires it and expresses it. And we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. It was this, friends. It was that the ministry God had given the apostle and those his fellow labourers, God had used it and blessed it for the beginning of the work of grace in these souls that are named here as our Colossae. And here we are today in Swavesey Chapel, friends, and it should be each one of God's servants, given to each one of God's servants to acknowledge and be thankful for how there is the witness that God has blessed the ministry of the word and has begun in souls. You see, it's good that you, each and I, may go back remembering and acknowledging how God began with us. Can you do that? Can you acknowledge how God began with you? Or let me put it to you carefully. Do you believe he has begun with you? Or is it sadly solemn? The solemn fact that you are only just the same as you were born and come into this world. If you are only just the same as you were born and came into this world, I have to tell you what state you're in. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. And that is very, very solemn, friends, because if we continue all our lives dead in trespasses and sins in the same state and condition that we were born in, we shall drop into hell at last. We shall be consigned there, sent there by God, justly so. Oh, you see what a great rejoicing it was to the apostle that there were these blessed souls, blessed by God, who he had been instrumental in God's hand in, so as God so used him for this purpose, to preach the truth, the whole truth, the truth as it is in Jesus. And these dear people were so affected under the power of the Spirit. And this was then his and the other fellow labourers of his there rejoicing. It was that God had done this. Now, can we carefully consider it, friends? You see, what was wonderful to the apostle too was the evidences of what God had done in these people was in that they were making it known. They were showing it forth. Now, friends, how does it come to you in that respect and me? Are you, if God has blessed you, if he has begun his work in you and you have hope, you're raised to a hope in Christ, if Christ is precious to you, is it that this is just kept under and not acknowledged? Is it that you just think that you come and feel that you come to the Lord's house and you sing the hymns and you sing them collectively together and make mention of these things in singing but what about speaking? What about testifying? What about showing forth the Lord's praise? Because, friends, the rejoicing the apostle had and the thanksgiving the apostle had was for what? And we have it so clearly here, and as the tenor of the letter here is before us, friends, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. They had to make it known, didn't they? So that it may be heard. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love ye have to all the saints. And, you know, it was what the apostles had heard had come back in record, had been recorded and stated and messages sent. It was what they heard of the results, as it were, the signs following of their preaching the truth as it is in Jesus Christ to these people. And so here in this epistle, this word, this letter written back to them, it says, we give thanks to God. You can understand that, can you? How that day by day, as the apostle was in private exercise and he with his fellow helpers together in prayer, they would be remembering these people. They're not present with now, but they'd had the communication of how God had so blessed them, favoured them, and they had been testifying of it, telling of it, and the good news of the fruits of the Spirit being manifest was so conveyed back to the apostle, so that the dear apostle in much love was now writing to acknowledge it, acknowledging how he had exercised to be giving thanks to God for what God had done, for how souls have been blessed. But do you understand, friend, the burden of my exercise to bring before you this morning? They had been making it known. They had been testifying. The blessing of the Lord that they had received was so strong and wonderful in the holy power of the love of God that they were making known what God had done for their souls. And so these things were published abroad, and especially sent in letters, communications, in the ways that was needed in those days. And the apostle had these things conveyed to him. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ praying always for you. And you see, where souls are blessed, and we have the favour of knowledge of it, the wonderful news of it, and are led, as God's servants are led, to pray for them, not to just pray that the soul will be blessed, and then to think, well, that's done, and we can forget about that soul. Never, never, never. But remembering them, Paul, we know, Paul knew, and we each know, each of God's servants know, that when their pardon is signed, if they've known that, and their peace is procured, from that moment, this moment, the conflict begins. And we're all in the veil of tears, we're all in a pilgrimage journey, and we have an arch enemy, Satan. Paul was so greatly aware of this, and this is why he was saying, praying always for you. Praying always for you. And I don't want to make any boast of it, friends, but I can tell you, I believe honestly before Almighty God, I continue to pray for you. God helps me to. We've known of some of you being blessed. We pray for more. God knows everything. He knows each one of you how you have been blessed. Oh, and we pray for you that grace may be given you to persevere and to endure in your pilgrimage journey. For you know, as I said, going back, remembering, acknowledging the beginning, when God begun with you, if it is true that he has begun with you, he began with you and he set you on a pathway from that moment, a pilgrimage journey, to live a life of faith and prayer. When God begins with a soul, that's what he does. He reveals to them, I believe he reveals to them many things, and it may be deeply so with some at the beginning, showing them what they are and even shaking them over hell, it may be. Some are, not all are, but they are solemnly taught what they are and made to be concerned about their never dying souls and made to seek the Lord as God gives them that grace to be concerned and to seek the Lord. And as he, in his sovereign purpose, blesses and favours each one, they are manifest as those. What we have further down and what we have, I was reading this morning at home with my dear one in Thessalonians, knowing your election of God, brethren beloved, your election of God, and this is what God brings his people to know and to stand in amazement of, that God set his love upon us, chose us from the ruins of the fall, set his love upon us from all eternity. He didn't choose us for merit, for he saw us all ruined in the fall, lost and ruined in the fall. But love me, saw me ruined. We sung it. We sung it on Friday. He saw me ruined in the fall. We sung it yesterday. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. Save me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, however great. You know, that theme can rightly be applied to all the dear people the apostle was acknowledging here what God had done for them. We're all ruined in the fall, and every one of you and me, we were all ruined in the fall, friends. And that's how you come into this life, that's how you were born, and I was. Ruined in the fall, but what a wonder of wonders if we are blessed to know my sovereign grace, that he loved me notwithstanding all. And oh, that inexperience, the experience of it, oh, that if we are blessed to know, and I do pray it may be so with every one of you, if it could be God's holy will, oh, we may be able to acknowledge, love me notwithstanding, save me from my lost estate. I expect I have said before to you what I believe is the first experience of God saving his people is, he's quickening them, although you may not realise that at that time, that saving grace. But you know, the way he saves from the ruins of the fool is by quickening sinners and making them spiritually alive and bringing them up out of the ruin of nature, the grave of nature, by sovereign grace. Oh, wonder of wonders, if we have this favour to believe the Lord's done it, brought us up out of that grave of nature by sovereign grace, by his power, his quickening power, quickened and made alive by the power of God. God's people are. Can you acknowledge it? Whatever depth or measure the Lord has worked in you and begun, how he begun with you, have you got that to acknowledge? And you know, if we are given the blessed favour of liberty to so acknowledge it humbly and thank with great thankfulness, and to speak one to another about it, to make it known to one another, that is glorifying to God, friends. It's not glorifying to God to be blessed and to keep it secret and never speak about it. That's not really glorifying to God, is it? See, God here, so by the Spirit, exercised these apostles to be very, very open, very, very clear and open, and to be very, very exercised to be ready to publish God's praise and to express the wonderful thankfulness they felt. And it was as they, and we know Paul says in several places, he says, he exhorts them to follow him. And we could easily think that, well, why does he exhort them to follow him? He says, follow me, he says. He expresses it in that way, but he doesn't mean follow him to glorify him. It's very clear, several places where that's recorded, where the people even went and wanted to worship the apostles. And they did everything they could to avoid that and escaped out of their hand, lest they should worship the creature rather than the creator. God didn't want to receive any of the worship himself. But he did say, follow me. Follow our steps. Because they were following Christ. They were, by the grace of God, showing forth the praise of God. And the exercise the apostle had that the people would walk in this same way, would follow the Lord fully and show forth his praise. And this is what they gave thanks to God for, when there was this wonderful witness of it. And what we have in this verse is really that. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, these two verses, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints. As it goes on, we hope to go on today. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and we can go on in the flow of it. It's clear what the apostle was so concerned for, the honour and glory of God, and that the people of God may be showing forth the praises of God, the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvellous light. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, my poor words, they come totally so much short to speak what is in my heart to bring before you. You see, the wonderful preaching was the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ crucified. We have further down in this chapter those wonderful things relating and regarding the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And this is what you need and I need. Oh, we're sinners deep in debt to God. ruined in the fall. Oh, we are. And if we are to really know what it is to acknowledge and the ways of God, love me notwithstanding all, we think of the great love where with God the Father loved the church, that he loved his people so well, he sent his dear Son to redeem them from hell. Oh, how great. We cannot estimate, we cannot speak of the greatness of God. Of God the Father's love to the church, to his children that he must adopt and bring in and take in hand in time and save them by his grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the gift of his dear Son. What's the highest note, really, of thanksgiving in the Word of God? I think it is. I don't want to be wrong in anything I say, but I think the highest note of thanksgiving is this: thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's unspeakable. We can't speak of it high enough. We can't say enough. We can't exalt Christ enough. Oh, thanks be. That's the will of God. And God, it's a statement of the will of God. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And God has his way to bring sinners to thank him for his unspeakable gift. Oh, yes, the way which is by the Spirit of God of bringing each one God set his love upon from all eternity, to bring them in time under God's teaching to give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. And the way I believe of it is the Spirit will make Jesus Christ exceedingly precious to those who are, as God goes on to teach them, whether it is at the beginning or as he goes on, he will make them know what wretched, vile, unworthy sinners they are. And he'll make them feel their sins so solemnly before a holy God. But then he'll bring them in his time to so show them, to reveal to them all their sins. God laid them on Christ, his dear Son. And his dear Son took upon him to bear all the punishment for the sins of the people of God, the church of God, taking them upon himself and to bear the punishment instead of them. It's salvation by divine substitution. Oh, we give thanks. This is the gospel the apostles had been preaching, friends, and these dear Colossians, we give thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, are we living, friends? Are you and I living in this favour with faith in Christ Jesus? Is this our blessed favour, friends, to be so living by the grace of God having granted us, God having granted us faith in Christ Jesus, faith in the bleeding Lamb? Is this your hope of heaven is in him, your hope of escaping hell, your hope of salvation, your hope of being landed home in heaven in that land of pure delight? You know you don't deserve it. God makes you know solemnly. It makes us know, friends, solemnly. The different depths and measures are according to the will of God and the way he works here a little and there a little in each one, according to his sovereign purpose. But he makes us know we deserve hell. We deserve to be cast away. We deserve to be cast into that place where hope and mercy never can come. I believe every one of God's people know they deserve that. God will make them know they deserve it. But he, I believe, makes them know that they deserve this to bring them into more wonder and amazement at his wonderful grace. Oh, when God had so blessed me and set me at gospel liberty, the theme that I so was given to flow out to God in praise with was sovereign grace, or sin abounding. Oh, how we could sing that, and I shall never forget singing that hymn with the friends, Luton Ebenezer Chapel on Good Friday evening, after Mr. Hill had preached, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." When he gave his text out, "Sirs, we would see Jesus," in the afternoon, it was strange to me. It was strange in a sense, because I had got the presence of Jesus Christ. He was in me. I had his presence. I was walking in the light of his countenance. I was feeling that holy peace of which comes with his presence. I was feeling that holy peace that comes when a poor sinner has received the application of the precious blood of Christ. I was in a state of holy joy and peace in believing. And, you know, it was strange. I couldn't really, as Mr. Hill gave out the text, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." I said, "Lord, thou knowest, thou art with me, I have thee. Thou art in my heart, I see thee in the eye of faith." But all that was preached in those two sermons, was much about Jesus Christ, and of course that blessedly added to the holy delight and filling one with such thankfulness that we had so been brought into the liberty of the gospel. And then closing in the evening with the singing of that hymn, "Sovereign Grace, or Sin Abounding." The theme, "On such love my soul still ponders, love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder," you know, that's what it will be, friends. You'll say, why such love to me? In conversation with a very dear afflicted man yesterday, very weak and very afflicted, all his words were expressions of thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is to him, what he's done for him. And how he so, in his whisper voice, said to me, as I put my ear right near his mouth, how he said to me how precious Christ is. He has his presence. I so felt it. The dear man, so afflicted in body, but so blessed in his soul. He was making it known, friends. The afflictions of his body, I believe, in a sense, were as to, so, in a way, a profound way, cause him even more to feel. And he said, "Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why did God love me? Why does he so bless me?" A feeling his unworthiness, but feeling the wonder of it and the great thankfulness for it, that God had filled his heart with thankfulness. Oh, friends, what a some of us ministers, we have wonderful privilege at times to hear dear souls speak like that. It was the holy privilege, the holy joy of the apostle to know that these dear Colossians were so blessed. And so in this way, he says, we give thanks. You know, today we're together here with you, dear friends. Oh, if I could know more of what the Lord has done for you, I would rejoice more. God's servants would. We have hope God has done much in this place. We believe there is a lot yet to be revealed and brought out. and we are waiting on God for it, watching for it. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Oh yes, praying for you that God give you grace to endure affliction and tribulation and trouble. He might give you grace to persevere. And all those needed graces that we all need, we pray for our friends, that they might have the favour of grace given, grace sufficient. I believe every one of God's people will prove God's grace is sufficient. Oh, it will never leave God's people short of that favour. So they must acknowledge it, his grace is sufficient. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Friends, oh, we give thanks. But I want specially to come later to further down and how God's people are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. And this is what we all need to be brought to and have the prospect of, which has made us meet. God has to change us. He has to sanctify us. He has to deal with us in a way to so make us so greatly different to what we were by nature, friends. Now, I want to just dwell on that briefly in questions now. Do you feel personally that there is evidence that God's made you to differ from what you were, what you used to be? I've spoken to you that time when I was young, in my late teens, and then it was when I was just after I was married, it was, friends. And we were expecting our first child just over a year after we were married. And God blessed me and set me at liberty. I was in courtship under conviction of sin. Oh, but then married. And it was, we were married by the late J.S. Green. And following that, my exercise was earnest seeking to know the pardon of my sins. And I can say, by the grace of God, I gave God no rest till he revealed his love with power to me. And he blessed me above what I asked for. He gave me justification by faith. I had begged for pardon, but he gave me much more. But friends, you see, then, going on was tribulation and much need to beg the Lord for grace to persevere and to endure and to be kept. For our trouble was that we were still sinning. And now it was more solemn. Sinning was more solemn because God showed me so solemnly my sins now are against his love and blood. You know, if you have been blessed, wonderfully blessed in some wonderful measure, and you are going on, and especially with unbelief, and especially with, I want to be careful in saying it, what my trouble was, my disobedience. My disobedience to God. Oh, I was not willing and ready to fully take up my cross and follow him. There was the old nature, carnal reason, many corruptions of our heart which seemed to come up, lust of the flesh, pride of life. God hadn't stripped me of them then. He hadn't, not as he has more now, but I wouldn't boast that. But you know, Oh, how are you, friends, in your life now, and you're going on, if God has blessed you? It will be good for you if you really examine yourself. And I had to examine myself, and God had to deal very deeply, solemnly with me. And he has done in later years. He has had to. And I can say, it's deep and profound, I can say I'm thankful for every cross he sent to purge my dross. And that thankfulness is not in me, friends, not in certainly my old man, but it's in the new man, as he gives me to feel it. But friends, I want to put these things to you in a way that God will so give you to consider. It's a solemn thing to be living after being blessed, grieving the Spirit of God, isn't it? I hope we each realise that, and we will be made to. Oh, God, the Father will chasten us. He'll chasten us for our sins, friends, for our disobedience, for our worldliness, for our lust that we are so quickly consuming upon our lust, even in a way with many ways the devil tempts and sets things before us, and they're so attractive, the things of the world, the things of natural pleasure, and oh, how many things there are. How it's spoken of in the Word, and the apostles dealt with it a lot, consuming upon thy lust. Oh, lust, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. They are all so much a great trouble to God's people. And it's solemn, friends, if we grieve God in one way, he may leave us even to Satan, that he may tempt us more. God's not an author ever of sin, but his solemn permissive will, you know how solemn it is. If he leaves you to Satan's devices, you're going to commit and add more sin to sin. And that's going to be made to have to grieve you more as God goes on. And he will chasten you, painfully afflict you in some way or other, according to his sovereign purpose, to correct you, to bring you to be stripped. That's painful. You know, think of it. I've sometimes thought of it when I've been peeling an orange and stripping the orange of all its outward cover. Oh, how you think of it. You think of it, how it, if we have this, it'll be painful, friends. We know we can't ever think how an orange can feel that, but you think of the feeling of being stripped, naturally feeling it. Painfulness, affliction, whatever way God does it, he would do it, friends, but in love and not in anger, to make us love him more. Oh, we pray sometimes, we say sometimes, we make expression of it. Sometimes we make the expression of it to friends. Oh, that I could love and praise him more. And yet, in actual fact, because of our old nature, we're not really concerned about that. Not really in heart of hearts. Oh, we hope in a new heart we are. But oh, friends, these are solemn things to be considered. And we really, God sees the heart. He sees us through and through. He knows, he beholds the thoughts and intents of our hearts, friends. You think of God, and that's God Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, God is one God, blessed forevermore, three persons in the Godhead. Even if you think particularly of that one upon whom your hopes of heaven depend, you think of how you grieve him. I think of how I grieve him, how we sin against him. How grieved he is. How we must but come to a deep, solemn repentance of him. Wonderful when we're brought there. The flesh dislikes it absolutely, fully dislikes the way, the way of God, the way of God's chastening, the way of God's correcting, and the way of God of bringing us into deep, godly sorrow. Old nature doesn't want that. But the way of the Spirit is such to bring sinners to really feel their guilt. And I'm talking about not, as it were, so much. We know that is vital in importance, the first work of the Spirit and so on, but further on in the journey. You may be even some of you young ones, if God began with you, say, a few years ago, the things that you've been in and how God has continued to make you feel and be in exercise, but yet you've got an old nature. And I don't want to bring out and highlight anything of your sin, but before God, you know, it's all known. He knows everything. And if he's given you to feel something of his love, you love him in return. How do you then now feel about the sins you commit and grieve in your Saviour? You will know, I believe, in some measure what I have said, that the sins that we commit after God has favoured us are even more solemn than those that we had to be convicted and convinced of first of all. Yes. Oh, to have, to know the favour. How it is here since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and love which ye have to all the saints. For when we're in the sad place of grieving God and feeling that grief over our sin, we're not really in exercise outwardly and wonderfully freely and showing forth the praise of God and the expression of it in love and thankfulness and love in the brethren. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, but that will not be just in word, it will be in deed and in truth if it's real, and showing it and in communication, in conversation, and in testifying of what the Lord has done for our souls. If we're in a freeness of testifying it, we're not in the bondage of those things which bind us when we are so much under the dictates of the old nature, but the freeness of favour, the presence of Christ and the leading of the Spirit is as we are favoured to be finding in our heart a welling up and a praising of God and a thankfulness and expressing it one to another in the church of God, love which ye have to all the saints, love to them, loving those that love Christ. We love him because he first loved us, and we love the brethren because they know the love of Christ, and we hope we know the love of Christ in that way. And yes, it will be that we'll have much concern about our conduct. You know, the apostle exhorts in several places, in several of the epistles, walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh, how important it is, friends, not for salvation, but that we may be bearing the fruits of the Spirit, especially the fruits of praise, honour and glory to God, since we heard of your faith. Oh, each one of you here, whom God has worked in, begun in, and has blessed you, what one and another know, of us know of how God has blessed you is very, very small and limited. Oh, it is. Your deacons here, I know they're very much in exercise to hear the high praises of God from sinners. But I would say, I think there's not a lot they've heard. Oh, there is wonderful things. But there should be more, friends. There should be more. Oh, I'm not one to judge or want to stand in a way of criticism, friends. But the wonderful witness the apostles gave such clear expression of was they had heard of the wonderful things God had done in sinners. Yes, they had been instrumental in the preaching of the gospel, but it was the God of all grace who had blessed. And they rejoiced. He says right in to the Philippians, so clearly he says it, I've quoted it so many times in my poor ministry. The apostle says, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit. He wasn't talking about the natural circumcision that the Jews practiced. We are the circumcision, having been by God's power and grace circumcised in heart. And you can consider that in ways it applies, cut in conscience and pained in heart, circumcised in heart. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and having no confidence in the flesh. That's what he wonderfully acknowledged to them. And it was upon the grounds of what God had done in sinners' hearts. What God had done in sinners' hearts, and they had testified of. They had made known and how they had shown it forth. Friends, it's very important that we should so give back to Christ the trophies of his sufferings in praise and thankfulness to him. It is not required for our salvation, but it is required for our walking in obedience of faith. Friends, we are accountable to our God to acknowledge his great goodness, the great goodness he has had to the various houses of the people of the churches in Asia. There's so much of it in the epistles expressed, and the apostles were so led to so express it so much, the need, the importance of praise of God, of living to the praise of God, of denying self, of showing the world who we love and who we serve. Oh, may God help us. I come so short, friends. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Chapman will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And Mr. Pickett is engaged to preach on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning. Mr. Philip Hare or Rosie? And Mr. Stephen Rosier may expect to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. 667.
Forgive all our shortcomings and failings in speaking of Thee. Oh, help us more to praise Thee, Lord. Oh, set our tongue at liberty, each of us, to speak of what Thou hast done for us. We beg Thee, do it, Lord, to Thy glory. We beg Thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.